Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Good afternoon, good morning. It is episode 42 of Powered4.tv Big Fight Weekly with myself, Stuart Palmer, and my co-host and cousin, Chris Hume. How are we this week, Chris? How are things?
Yeah, not bad, you know. Got the Christmas jumper on for Christmas jumper day, you know.
More festive than me, but the tree's in the back, as you can see there. I'll just move this. I was putting it on. There's my festive edition there. You're wearing the jumper. I'll have the tree in shot. Absolutely. And Chris, the first portion of the show is UFC heavy because we've got the huge 269 card headlined by the lightweight title showdown between Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. We're going to talk about the undercard in a little bit, but we've got to put a lot of focus on this. I am not sure who's going to win this one. I am torn, mate. I'm torn between who it will be. I'm sure you've got a lot of stuff to say on this one. But yeah, I can't pick. I'm sitting on the fence, Chris.
I mean, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because I think, let's highlight Charles Oliveira, firstly. But, he's the champion. He's come on like leaps and bounds, the last couple of years. And he, cemented himself as the best at lightweight. A couple of months ago, he beat Michael Chandler. He had to go through a bit of adversity, didn't he? He got dropped and probably what the last couple of minutes at the first round, and Michael Chandler does what Michael Chandler does, and he swarmed on him. Probably, I think at that point, punched himself out. Second round, then you saw the skill set that's different for Charles Oliveira. His stand up, wasn't always the best when he first came to UFC. Predominantly was known as the jiu-jitsu guy, wasn't he? And let's not knock that because, being a jiu-jitsu guy, he's probably one of the best in UFC. But he's come leaps and bounds. And, he knocked down Michael Chandler with a cross, a left cross, and finished the fight that way, which, he's come on so much. And I think people struggle with him because he can throw that left cross, and probably keep his hips up open a bit because people are afraid to sort of like they could sort of duck that left cross and take him down. But when you're taking Charles Oliveira down, you're in his world then. And I think he can relax and sit back a bit when he's throwing his strikes, not too relaxed, obviously, because you don't want to get caught yourself, but he can relax knowing that, he can throw a few punches here and there and not have that worry that someone's going to take him down because you don't want to be, you don't want to be on top of him, or you don't want him on your back because he's like an anaconda, and he'll find a way to submit you. And like I say, he's one of the best in the UFC with jiu-jitsu, and I think he's got most wins in UFC with submissions as well. It's an interesting fight, and it is really like a tale of Dustin Poirier's cardio, Dustin Poirier's heart, all that shit he had to go through with Conor McGregor. He silenced Conor McGregor, let's just say, in the last two fights, completely showed his heart, his desire, from the Khabib fight as well. That's no loss that you can sort of hang your head in shame is because it's Khabib Nurmagomedov, and he does that to everybody, shuts everything down that they're really good at, and sort of embodies himself and controls the fight. But he again is another fighter that's come a long way. Had a lot of ups and downs here, moved up to lightweight, lost that one fight against Michael Johnson, and then, you know, took his career by the scruff of the neck and shot up the rankings. Okay, he's lost to Khabib, but he's beaten everybody else, Stuart, in that division. Well, everybody, nearly everybody else.
I think it's good that he's been in there with Khabib in terms of, you know, Oliveira's ground game being so strong. I'm a bit like Switzerland, Chris. And, you know, the commenters, the viewers might sit around and say, Stu, just pick someone. Don't sit on the fence. But yeah, you cannot knock Poirier's power, can you, in the same token?
No, not at all.
He will bang.
And the thing is, and you're right there, because as much as Oliveira and I have just stated about how he's got better and his stand-up's much better, a bit more oiled than it was when he first came into the UFC, he is a bit chinny himself, and he has, you know, does have the tendencies to get caught.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're quite close when it comes to reach as well, so there's no, like, a reach advantage per se. But, you know, Poirier has got that power, and he's got that step-in right hook cross. That seems to, you know, really put a lot of people on the back foot. You saw it against Conor McGregor. You saw it against Dan Hooker. You saw it against Justin Gaethje. You know, and there, you know, listen, you know, Conor McGregor's a war, but more of a mental war, where Dan Hooker and Justin Gaethje fights do were an actual war for Dustin Poirier, you know, mentally as well as physically. And, you know, and he went through the wars with both of them. You know, let's say as well, Eddie Alvarez, he went through the wars twice with Eddie Alvarez. He's incredible. And, you know, I mean, you've got to tip your hat to Dustin Poirier. You know, he's gone through so much adversity himself. And you've got two humble guys that, you know, they're not really horrible to each other. At the press conference, I did watch it this morning. They were, you know, nice as you can be without, you know, sounding too much of a bit of a flake. But they're two humble guys that I think a lot of people can get behind. And I don't think too many people would be disappointed who wins these fight of these two, who wins the fight, because, you know, they're such good guys, and you know that they can carry on the title, you know, and people will be happy with them being a champion.
It doesn't have to be a war of words sometimes.
No.
You know, it sells itself, those two, you know, they're marquee names in the division. You know, there's a lot of marquee names at 155, as we state week to week, but sometimes you don't need, there needs to be a war of attrition in the words, does it sometimes, Chris? We do like it sometimes. It does set the table. But yeah, very relaxed, I think, on this one. Poirier with McGregor, it did get a bit heated, didn't it? You know, the last couple of times.
It's Conor McGregor, though, isn't it? That's, you know, that's his forte, isn't it? As much as it was once good, not so much good now because it's not as smart. But let's forget about Conor McGregor.
Just to go off on, we're staying in the division for a minute. Now, I read comments about Khabib saying Dariush or Makhachev will carry the division going forward. They've got all the tools to beat these two. Do you think he's right saying that? Because it's still lightweight. It still encapsulates lightweight. And it's quite a current thing. I'm sure you read what he was saying. Do those two pose a problem for the winner of this? Or the loser?
Comment. Listen, the guy who was the king of the division for so long, and we would have wished that Khabib stayed longer, because obviously we've spoke about this, many matchups that we wanted him to still have. But I think Dariush is another guy who's gone through a lot of, you know, hard fights and found himself, really put a lot of effort in now, and you're seeing his last fights against Tony Ferguson, you know, and destroy Tony Ferguson, made Tony Ferguson look ordinary. Okay, Tony Ferguson hasn't looked great for a couple of years now. But, you know, he's still a big name to beat and a hard guy to beat. Makhachev, we're just seeing glimpses of what he can do against the bigger opposition. Dan Hooker took him down, isolated the arm, you know, and got the submission. Could have broke the arm if he really wanted to. Obviously, he's not going to do that. It's if and buts. It depends because, you know, one night, you know, Makhachev could say he beats Dariush, gets a title shot. And say Dustin Poirier is the champion, just for argument's sake here, you know, as an example. And he has a really poor night, and Dustin Poirier finishes him.
Right.
It's hard to say.
I'm going to spin it back now. Who wins out of these two? I'm going to ask you. Now, I think it's going to be heart and head with you here. I think you obviously made a case for both and what they can do stylistically and how they could, you know, trouble the opposition, trouble the fighter. If I had to, you know, say put some money down. Where who wins? Who wins, Chris? That's what I'm going to ask.
It's a tough one. It's a really tough one because I quite think they're quite evenly matched. Not on the ground, obviously not on the ground, okay, because that is Oliveira's world. But I think that Oliveira can encapsulate the stand-up he's had and how good it's gotten. And look how good he was against Michael Chandler, even though, you know, he did get dropped and, you know, I mean, he did get almost finished to a degree. Dustin Poirier's had some really hard fights with Conor McGregor, Gaethje, Eddie Alvarez. If on push comes to shove, I'm going to stick with the champion. I think that Charles Oliveira, if he doesn't get caught by the power and the speed of Dustin Poirier, I think he can use a different lot of assets with leg kicks. Using that, again, that left cross that seems to trouble a lot of people when he throws it, and not have that panic that he's going to be taken down. Because if Dustin Poirier goes for a double leg, he's going to get, you know, he's going to get caught cold with the jiu-jitsu, you know, the jiu-jitsu game of Charles Oliveira. I'm going with Charles Oliveira. I just think he's the man at the moment, and I think that he's getting better and better.
We needed a bit of balance, Chris, because I'm sitting on the fence, which I do tend to do quite a lot. So I just needed you to see. I thought Oliveira from you absolutely. Hey, Chris, also, yeah, I'm colour-coded like a Christmas tree. I look like a great big alpine, and then I got the star on top. I just noticed that. Christmas tree at the back, Christmas tree at the front, colour-wise. I ballsed up there, mate. Anything else to add on this before we move on to one of the pound-for-pound greatest in the current times, Amanda Nunes and her fight against Juliana Peña? Or have we got comments?
We've got plenty of comments, mate. Lovely. Plenty of comments.
Also, sorry, Chris, I'm jumping in. If you've got, who do you pick? The viewers, the listeners, who do you pick in this one, in the title fight? Oliveira or Poirier? And yeah, sorry, Chris.
No, Our big friend of the show, Rommel, is chimed in, so I'm going to throw him in there.
I'm betting on Poirier to win this match. Charles sometimes has a day off, sometimes not as focused as always until he gets hit. Chris, I would like to agree with you, but I'm quite doubting Charles now. I'm 60-40 to Dustin, a very close bet. No, it's a good mixture. It's a good mixture, Chris. Yeah. You like having other people's opinions, don't you?
Of course,
they're looking at it and their scenarios.
I don't knock Rommel for going for Dustin Poirier. No. I could say it's that close between them. I wouldn't be disappointed if Dustin Poirier won the title and beats Charles Oliveira. I said just before, I think it's a title fight that people are quite happy either way, which way it goes. We just want a good fight, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely, we do.
We do have other comments from Brett. And Dan and Pete, but it all goes to a certain topic we're going to cover a bit further down, Stuart. So once we get there, I'll pop them up.
Sit tight, lads, because we will be talking about Fury and Jake Paul, Tommy Fury and Jake Paul, and it being cancelled, Woodley coming in. So please hang tight. We're doing UFC first, a bit of boxing, and then we will get on to Fury and Paul and it being cancelled. Double champion Amanda Nunes defending her title against Juliana Peña. Chris, this has got to be the widest on the betting odds for me. And that's no disrespect to Juliana Peña. If she was in there with somebody else and not the pound-for-pound queen, I would say she's got a good chance and she's had good performances. But this will be the widest on the betting, Chris. Amanda Nunes, it would be the greatest shock of all. I think it'd eclipse Buster Douglas versus Tyson, this, if Juliana Peña won the bout.
You know what? Do the ladies' division a world of good if Juliana Peña could win this fight. But if I'm completely honest with you, mate, it's another victim for Amanda Nunes to notch on that belt of who I've beaten. They're making out that Juliana Peña is a jiu-jitsu king, queen, in her eyes, sorry. But she's lost to Durandamine. You know who Durandamine is?
I do, mate.
And she beat, she hasn't really got much ground skills now when I say this, but she beat Peña with a standing guillotine. And they're making out Peña now being this, spider of jiu-jitsu. And if she gets Amanda Nunes on the floor, she can submit Amanda Nunes. I don't see that happening. But if you're getting submitted by a kickboxer, you know, a very good kickboxer, don't get me wrong, but really does not have the skill set they're making out that Julian Peña has on the ground. It worries me, yeah? His striking, Stuart, is very, very wild. She just makes some really odd noises, like where ladies tennis sort of noises. You'll see that when you watch it. But she's very wild with her strikes, very, very wild. And you look across from her, it is the queen of the ladies division, minus Shevchenko, even though she's beaten Shevchenko twice, may I add. I just think this is another victim for Amanda Nunes, and she's going to knock her out. And I think it's going to be very, very, very quickly. I think I'd be shocked if it gets past round three. I think this is just another bad matchup for anyone who faces Amanda Nunes. I think she's just top dog. There's nobody in the division, either divisions, really. Shevchenko, I think, would be mighty close again. But I just think she's better than everybody in bantamweight. The weight below that, you know. She's just too good. She's just on top. And I can't physically sit here, Stuart, and tell you there's anybody that I can look at their rankings in either divisions Amanda Nunes is a champion of and say that they're going to be a problem. I don't. I think you're best being a ghost when it comes to facing Amanda Nunes and just hiding because she's just too good.
It's only going one way, mate. It's only going one way, this one. There's just no... And that's no disrespect. You know, Juliana Peña, as you say, you know, I can't say her name. I'm saying about her jiu-jitsu and then she's been taking, you know, she's been taking down herself with... Yeah. It's just, how can you give yourself that plaudit when you've been stopped with that style of offense? So it's, Chris, who can beat Amanda Nunes? Let's just take Juliana Peña out of the equation. It's going to take somebody, it's going to take a hybrid. It's going to have to take a prodigy. And I'm not talking BJ Penn to get in there. I don't think there's ever going to be another blemish on that record. She won't have five losses on a resume.
I don't know.
It's just the trilogy fight with Shevchenko, isn't it, Chris? That's the only feasible option.
Nunes is bigger than Shevchenko in the bantamweight. Course. That's the problem.
But I'm just, who else within, do you know what I mean?
There isn't anyone.
And that's no disrespect to these MMA fighters, these ladies, you know, they're very talented. She's just elite. She's elite level. And it shows, doesn't it? You can be world class and you're still not elite.
She's too good. I couldn't honestly give you a name off the top of my head that I feel that it could dethrone the woman, unless she has a really bad night, gets caught, and that could be the only way.
Could you see her calling time on her career? Because there isn't feasible people there where she can think, well, this is a test for me. Do you think she might just call it a day after she maybe faces Shevchenko for the third time?
It's very possible, but she makes a lot of money, Stuart, and you're a double champion, and the only one that's stayed a double champion since becoming one.
I'm sure she's set for life as it is, to be fair to her. She draws, which is fantastic. Chris, are we moving on to the next match, or are you going to throw in a comment? Lovely. Nunes all the way. I'll scream my lungs out if Peña wins. Ramel, like, if we're going to term it to like an upset, it was Buster Douglas versus Tyson. I'm putting it on that pedestal. And I agree. I haven't looked at the odds. I normally look at the odds. But that is going to be the widest one of the night, no question.
Definitely. I just, like I say, it's another victim for Amanda Nunes, unless she has a really horrid night and gets caught, you know, which it can happen. It can happen in any combat sport. I don't see it happening.
She's been cresting that way for so long. You cannot look past it. And also, UFC mainstay, UFC veteran Cody Garbrandt, against Kai Kara-France, Chris, who I didn't know too much about. We spoke about him prior to going on the live.
Yeah.
To me, I see Cody coming through this one.
I don't. And I like that you're going against me because this doesn't happen very often. Kai Kara-France is a good kickboxer, very well-rounded in the kickboxing sense. His last fight was back in March against Rogério Obutrin, and he cleared him out, Stuart, absolutely cleaned him out. And he did it fantastically. Okay, he's had a lot. He's had a few losses, but not many losses in his UFC career. He's only had two. Is Kai? He's been in there with Brandon Moreno, Stewart, and only lost by a decision. Okay, it's a unanimous decision, but you know he's been in there with the whole, I'd say, three rounds with the current champion, flyweight. You know that for me is a good stead because you know you've been in with a high quality person. I just think he's got more about him, Stuart.
He's had a lot more fights, Chris. Look how many fights he's had.
Yeah,
is that a factor for you that he's been in? He's over doubled what Cody's done. I know Cody's been in with some of the best, you know, in and around the divisions.
But well, that's your argument there, mate. Yeah. You've just sort of set your own argument there, really, because you have it.
I'm just looking through.
You have experience, Stuart, which Kaya France has, and Garbrandt has in his 16 wins. The 16 fights he's had experience as well. Don't forget, he was a champion. He beat Dominic Cruz, who also we're going to speak about in a short while. You know, he dethroned Dominic Cruz. Don't forget, Dominic Cruz was out injured, came back, beat Dillashaw, and then got outsmarted by Cody Garbrandt. And everyone thought, like, hey, this is the next thing. Problem with Cody Garbrandt, Stuart, is he's very, very chinny. And he stands in the pocket and goes to war. And 9 times out of 10, he loses. But, you know, okay, against Rafael Sunshine, he knocked him out right on the bell.
Yeah.
Sunshine didn't play to his strengths, which he could have taken Garbrandt down and controlled him that way. He's not a person you want to go toe-to-toe with, but, you know, Rob Font did it in his last fight, Stuart, and we covered that fight, and Rob Font did it perfectly. And he took some cracks from Cody Garbrandt in that fight, and Cody looked a lot better, but this is a difference for dropping from bantam to flyweight, where they're a lot faster, Stuart, and he's had to cut a lot of muscle mass because he's quite a big dude at bantamweight.
You look at height, 5'4 to 5'8, Chris, because you don't think of Cody as a 5'8er. You know, at him in the cage, and then, but he's got an inch reach advantage at 5'4". It's mad, isn't it?
That's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think Kaya France is going to win this. I think Cody Garbrandt's very cocky, and I think, like I say, I think his chin worries me a lot. Mm. He looked better against Rob Font, but Rob Font's a very good striker, and also we'll talk about that fight against Aldo in a bit as well. But
what a fight that was! What a performance! Definitely. Absolutely, Chris. To be fair to Cara France, he's had 3 subs. I know he's had over 30 fights. Mm. Cody hasn't got any subs on his record there as well. Does he try and submit him? You know, not go power for power with Cody, because we know he can ban.
But Cody Garbrandt's got a good wrestling base though, Stuart.
I just wonder if he could maybe adapt and maybe change.
It's possible. But I think if you watched the conference, they're a bit... obviously, Cody Garbrandt and Sean O'Malley had a bit of tit-for-tat, but obviously he was making out that Kaya France isn't as smart as him when it comes to the fight. A bit different. I have to disagree, because if you look at Cody Garbrandt when he's lost, he hasn't been smart. He stayed in a pocket when he's been getting wobbled, and you know he's got finished because of that, you know, not stepping away, try and cut some angles, move your head out the centre line. Mm. He doesn't. He just goes and bangs, which, you know, it's great. Makes a great fight, but in the long run, it doesn't keep your career going.
A big, big fight at flyweight, and we will see. We will see who will come through that one. Ramel again from the Philippines. I know it's quite a bit later there, isn't it? Saying that we're on lunchtime here, so it won't be too late. Cody needs a win, big time. He had championship experience, as you've alluded to, Chris. You know, a lot of fights, you know, high level fights as well. But I hope the weight cut doesn't hurt him on fight night.
Well, we'll see tonight when they weigh in. Well, they'll be weighing in shortly, I'd imagine. I said to you last week, actually, he didn't look well. But, you know, that's obviously, he's not had any water at that point. I think he's had to starve his body to cut the weight.
They drain themselves. Yeah. They drain themselves to cut. And, you know, it is going to be tough for him at 5'8". To cut to that weight, no question.
We'll see on the night. Yeah,
we'll absolutely. It'd be a good, night. Good fighting prospect as well, though. It'll be a good tear at that.
Well,
I know a bit more about him.
We'll see where Cody Garbrandt lands in the flyweight division, won't we?
Absolutely, and we look forward to that one. Another absolute stellar bout on the 269 card, and then we got Raleigh and Pavia versus, I'm going to use the word hybrid, Chris, because of his style and his fighting style, Sean O'Malley. You know what? He's become a fan favourite. And he opens up the main card, Chris, as you've put that in the headline. So, yeah, Chris, it's got to be Sean O'Malley in this one, hasn't it?
I like Sean O'Malley. Not because of the cockiness. I like his style. I think it's really good. And you know, you watch his last fight against Thiago Almeida. Wasn't happy with that knockdown because he could have finished Thomas Almeida loads of times in that fight. Didn't like how it was going to end. Gets him back up and then, you know, waits for the, like, a highlight reel, because I suppose he wants to make a statement, and highlight reels make statements, don't they, in fights? People click on it, so, you know, people want to know who you are then. I think that Sean O'Malley's just got more finesse. You know, he can use his teak kicks, going high with wheel kicks as well. If you notice, he likes his wheel kick, there's Sean O'Malley. Pavard, he's got power, but I don't think it's enough power to knock out Sean O'Malley. I don't think Sean O'Malley is as chinny as what people would say. But then I haven't seen him against a really big power puncher per se yet. And we haven't seen him be tested in the top half, like the top 10. We need to see where Sean O'Malley's skill set level is. These are winnable fights for Sean O'Malley. I want to see him up against the Dominic Cruises, the Jose Aldos, Frankie Edgar's, the seasoned veteran Stuart that really can push him, and we can see how high the ceiling is for Sean O'Malley.
So this fight, you know, he, do you think he maybe could have been taking on someone a bit better rather than taking this one? Or is this just to keep himself going? Also with Sean O'Malley, he's just so loose in there, Chris.
Yeah,
he's very relaxed, isn't he? You know, and nobody's fighting his way, his style at all. But yeah, do you think this one is just a tune-up to get him ready, or could he have had a bigger fight sooner?
I think he's doing the right way. I think it's like, sorry about my dog's barking.
Don't worry about the dog; it's fine.
I think he's like, you know, like Tom Aspinall talks about, like, he doesn't want big fights straight away. He wants to earn his minutes. Okay, Sean O'Malley's a bit more cockier, and he, you know, he's a bit more lavish, should we say, with the way he is. But I think he's doing the right ways. Get some minutes, get some experience, and then, you know, jump in with the top half of the division. But like I say, I think like a Jose Aldo, Frankie Edgar, Dominic Cruz would be great for him, because they're veterans and they would push him. And I think these sort of fights would sort of, like I say, would see where the ceiling is with Sean O'Malley. But I'd hope to think if he wins this fight, I'd imagine he will win this fight. I think he's going to KO Pavard. I think he's going to do it quite emphatically as well. I think that he needs a bigger opposition in 2022, Stuart, and then we can then see where he goes.
Hopefully. And that will open the main card. What an opening bout for the main card that will be. Get to see Sean O'Malley. You know, everyone's hot on him. Chris, where are we going next, bud?
Hold on 2 minutes. We're going to a guy I've just mentioned.
Dominic Cruz, another veteran again. It's Pedro Munhoz, Chris, you know, fully aware of Pedro Munhoz as well.
Yep.
And this one's on the prelims, big, big contest. How do you see this one going? I'll put it to you first.
I like Pedro Munhoz. He had a really good fight with Jose Aldo not long ago, if you remember rightly. But Aldo, which we'll talk about when we talk about his fight next, he used the outside and frustrated Pedro Munhoz, and Pedro Munhoz, you know, struggled to hit him with those power hands you saw that knocked out Kobe Garbrandt last year. I think it was last year when they fought. I like Dominic Cruz, Stuart. I love his footwork. I'm fascinated with his footwork. Okay, he's been figured out a few times now, but I find people, when you're standing in front of Dominic Cruz and his movement is like someone from bloody Grease Lightning, you know what I mean? That fast, tippy-toe, moving back and forwards. But it's so agile and it's so complicated to work out. If you're trying to strike or cut a corner with Dominic Cruz, he's out the way, he moves. I just find his movement and his skill set so fascinating. But I think Dominic Cruz is going to win this, Stuart. I think Dominic Cruz is going to do what Aldo did to Pedro Munhoz. He's going to use the outside, and he's just going to pick him apart when he comes in with like a sweeping sort of jab, and then comes over the right with like an overhand right, and he catches a lot of people with it. I don't think he's going to take Munhoz down, because Munhoz, again, is a beast with jiu-jitsu. I think this is going to be point scoring for Dominic Cruz.
Look at the goal for the subs. Yeah, like you're saying, you're not going to want to go into the murky waters on the ground, but I'm sure, you know, Cruz will be, you know, he's a wily veteran himself. He's not going to be going down there, is he?
No, I don't think he will. I think what we'll see is what Cruz has always done to people is use that outside, use that footwork, that awkward footwork, and bounce in, bounce out, bounce in, bounce out, and just rack up the points. And I think this will be a unanimous decision for Dominic Cruz. And, you know, I love Dominic Cruz. I think he's straight to the point. I love his commentary, Stuart. I love his analysis.
He's very good. Probably,
yeah,
he's very good on the stick. He's very good on the stick with his headset, no question.
Another but I'm going I'm going with Dominic Cruz with this one, Stuart. But you never know. He could get caught.
There's plenty of permutations to that one, and that's what we want as fight fans sometimes. We don't want the obvious. And we're going to move to the results from Fight Night this past weekend. Chris, I only watched the fight today because I've been working, been busy doing stuff. And what a fight it was, and what a fantastic performance from Jose Aldo, who was a great champion for so many years. Incredible.
The King of Rio.
Yeah, and Rob Font, you know, he's not to be sniffed or snuffed that at all, is he?
No,
because
he's
a fantastic fighter. But yeah, Aldo, 50-45, and a 49-46, Chris, on the judges' scorecards. Fantastic. Just what a performance. Both men, you know, great warriors in there. There's no question of that.
Listen, if you go back to the very first round of this fight, Rob Font was in control of this fight. Aldo was... I wouldn't say frozen, because that's Tyron Woodley, and we'll get to him. But he was struggling to sort of find his sort of mark. Rob Font was on the front foot, Stuart, and he was pushing him, pushing him, pushing him. He was pot-shotting him here, pot-shotting him there, and he was getting in some really good jabs. And then I think it must be like the last minute of the round. Aldo always uses this. It's like a 1-2, but he comes in with the left, and his right hand comes in like a missile, Stuart. And as soon as he hits Rob Font is like, oh, my God. You know, I mean, what is this? And then that was sort of like how it sort of went out for the rest of the rounds. Then Aldo would come in with that 1-2 and he would startle Rob Font. When Rob Font's fallen back, he dropped Rob Font, I think, 3 times in the fight. And luckily for him, that obviously the round was coming to an end when he had him on the ground, the times he had him on the ground. But yeah, this was vintage Jose Aldo. I did go for Rob Font beating him last week as well. But Jose Aldo just proves, even at his age, Stuart, he is still fantastic.
And there's still, even he quoted saying, you know, I'm 35 and Tajer has won a title in his early 40s. You know, yeah. They're all kind of like, think, well, you know, I can come back from a bit of adversity after being so dominant. And it was a great performance, Chris. I think, you know, the thing to ask you now, which I always like to ask you, who next for Jose Aldo? In terms of, you know, it was fourth versus fifth in this one in the rankings. Mm-hmm. Who would you like to see Aldo in with next?
I'm going to push this against you. I said this, I must have been quite early on in our show when we first started. I still want to see Jose Aldo versus Dominic Cruz. I really want to see that. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Frankie Edgar versus Dominic Cruz, but I think Edgar's, you know, going towards that out the door sort of situation, I think, you know, and, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Frankie Edgar, but I want to see Aldo versus Cruz. I want to see that matchup. I want to see how that works and pans out with the skill set, the speed of Jose Aldo, and the awkwardness of Dominic Cruz. You know, they're both in the same division, but unfortunately, Aldo's called out Dillashaw. And that is an interesting fight.
Oh my days! Yeah, that's.
I'm happy to see that one as well.
That's a barn burner if ever there was one. No question of that. Yeah, a fantastic performance from Jose Aldo. Not taking anything away from Rob Font, Chris.
No.
So you go in just quickly on the judges' scorecards. You had Font with round one. So the 49.
No. I would say, Stuart, that Rob Font was winning until Aldo hit him with the 1-2
right.
And dropped him.
Okay, I've misinterpreted that. No, I thought you know, because it was a 49-46 on the judges. I thought you had one round, but no, clean sweep on rounds for Aldo.
I think if he didn't get dropped, I think he would have won that round.
It was his. Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. Aldo again, you know. It could be an Indian summer. You see all these guys who've come back in the mid to late 30s, even their 40s, getting title shots, getting titles. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how he gets on if it is TJ Dillashaw. Ramel Cruz versus Aldo. It's been my dream match since WEC days. Yeah, so you're on the same lines as Chris with that one.
I just want to say, Stuart, as well, to Brett, Rachel, Steve McMahon, everyone who's in the chat and they're talking, Tommy and Jake, We will get to it. I promise you. Yeah. So keep the comments going. We will answer all your comments about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just hang on. It won't be long. Just going to do the boxing. There's quite a bit of boxing to get through. And we will give time to Fury and Paul. So there we go. And yes, Anthony Yard versus Lyndon Arthur. The second bout, Chris. The second bout. And yeah, this pitch is actually from the first fight. This is my fault. I've just realised. I can tell by the background. There we go. It shows that Yard was on top, which he was in the second fight. Chris, it was just so much better this time round. He pushed it. He was going at him. He was in his face, wasn't he? So much more aggressive from Anthony Yard, which was lacking. Which was lacking in the first fight. Because I did think he was going to get outfoxed with the jab again from Arthur. But my word, what a performance. And to, you know, blow him out in four rounds. And now he is number one contender for the WBO world title. So Anthony Yard will get another light heavyweight title shot coming up very soon. Joe Smith Jr. has got a fight coming up. He's got to defend the belt. But yeah, Chris, what a performance from Anthony Yard.
Mate, we spoke about this last week about him using his head movement and his feet movement to sort of escape the jab of Lyndon Arthur. He did that from the bell. He just went straight at Lyndon Arthur and gave him everything. You know what I mean? I think the pace, the head movement, but he was going underneath that jab as well. If you watch it, Stuart, he was going underneath with the body punches, and then when Lyndon Arthur sort of threw the jab out, he was going over the top of the jab of Lyndon Arthur. So it looked like he's worked on getting past and through Lyndon Arthur's jab, obviously, which caused so many problems in their first fight. I think he put Lyndon Arthur in a back foot from the first round. I think Lyndon Arthur was quite shell-shocked, would you say?
He just couldn't get in the ascendancy. He just couldn't get it. It was incredible. He was inside so much Yard. He closed it. He just closed the distance. And he was far more aggressive. There was hooks coming in. You know, himself, he was using the jab, wasn't he? He was setting the jab.
Yeah.
He's coming, the hook. It was just so much better. And it was the Yard of old, because he'd lost his way. You know, it was no great shame losing to Kovalev. He went to Russia. He had some good rounds in Russia. He put some good rounds in, but then Kovalev worked him out as that one went on. But what a performance. And, you know, he is one of the best produced in the UK currently. I still maintain that. Yeah, he's had a couple of losses, but he has got power. And I think he is a problem for Joe Smith Jr. If it is that Joe Smith Jr. gets through his next title fight, which I do believe he will, it's now or never for Yard. He's come over and he's beaten Arthur after the first loss. And it was a fantastic performance. I didn't think the ref was going to stop it, actually.
I thought Arthur
still had the wherewithal. It wasn't like he was scrambled. But I think the towel would have probably come in the fifth, personally. So
he took a lot of punches up against the ropes, Stuart. Yard was really putting through the pace.
Steve Gray, he's great referee. You know, he's seen it all for years and years. He knows. So yeah, he saw something there. But yeah, fantastic performance. And Yard wasn't favourite in that one, or he was slight favourite before. So yeah, absolutely fantastic performance, Chris.
Well, they're all still talking Tommy Fury and
I can't wait to get to that.
We'll move on, Stuart.
And yes, we're just going to preview a huge night tomorrow night at one of the greatest fighting cities in the world, Liverpool, at the arena, at the MS Bank Arena. There'll be 10,000 or so in there for that. It's a great, great venue. Great venue. I've been to the wrestling there. Fantastic. And I've got to say, Conor Benn versus Chris Algieri. Chris, me and you are hot on Conor Benn. You know, he absolutely dismantled Samuel Vargas with power. You know, Samuel Vargas had many big fights in the division. Taking on Chris Algieri, who had stepped away, but, you know, he's fought Pacquiao, he's fought Khan. It's a good test for Conor, and it's only a matter of time before world honours and world, you know, world title shots, isn't it? Surely off the back of this one.
Who's the champion in...
Chris. We got Terence Crawford, Errol Spence Jr. How do I forget them? They're like, you know, two of the best power fans. Ugas as well is in amongst it. You know, there's Danny Garcia as well. For, but I think, no, Conor Benn off the back of this. he'd be ready. He'd be ready for one of them now. And I know then they're elite.
I'm going to push you this then. Can he do it against Crawford or Earl Spence? Obviously, Earl Spence is back.
It might be a bridge too far yet, that, but someone like a Yul Dennis Ugas, it all depends on which boxing board, doesn't it? You know, he's going. I don't know. I brain farted about Crawford and Errol Spence. That's terrible on my part. I can normally just roll them off. I can roll off the divisions. Like, but yeah.
Hard fights for Conor Benn, though.
I didn't like the fact that we were saying, oh, Algieri, you know, he's been out of the game. He's doing fitness things and all this sort of stuff. And he's done a bit of punditry. He was on DAZN recently as well. It's a good fight. It's a good test for Conor Benn, this. It's another fight, you know, just getting the minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, getting the minutes.
I think he'll come through that. He will come through that because he's been more active than him. And then Katie Taylor, pound for pound, one of the best women's fighter in the world. She's got all the gold and she's taking on Firouza Sharapova, Chris, in the co-main on Saturday night in Liverpool. So, yeah, another great, great card. And it'd be good to see her defend her gold. And, you can't look past her. I've been watching a little bit of Sharapova. It's Katie Taylor's just by far and away the best. There's no question with that one. And, it's going to be a good night in Liverpool. There's more fights on the card as well. But, yeah, these two fights will be really, really good. And there'll be a good atmosphere in there tomorrow night, as always, in the fighting city of Liverpool. So, yeah, we look forward to that tomorrow night on DAZN, on Matchroom. Eddie Hearn's Matchroom for that one. And Chris?
Right then, Stuart, let's give the people what they want. They're eager for this because there's so many comments we're going to have to get through regards to this. But here you go, Brett. This is what you've been wanting. And I obviously go, I put there, Tommy Fury's withdrawn against Jake Paul. Tyron Woodley steps in on short notice to set up the rematch. I'm going to go straight to the comments because there's so many comments for this. I obviously got to start with the man of always, the Paul brothers lover, Brett Thomas.
What a letdown Tommy was on the Jake fight. His dad said he was that much better than Jake, he could take fight one-handed. Boxing should be a shame. Now Jake has to hand UFC another ass-whooping. Chris?
I don't agree with you getting a hand UFC and about ass whooping because, you know, you're facing an ex-UFC fighter. Yes, an ex-welterweight champion and very good in his prime, Tyron Woodley. But, you know, there is a reason why Tyron Woodley, you know, retired. And also got cut from the UFC because he wasn't good enough anymore. Yes, he fought some of the best and he did on his way out fight some of the best, but Tyron Woodley isn't a boxer. Tyron Woodley, you know, he's a power puncher, but mainly a wrestler. But, you know, I don't agree with you handing UFC another ass-whooping because UFC could send someone in there.
Is it legitimate with Tommy or is he just shocked out of it because he knows he's going to lose? Because that was I've been thinking that as soon as this got called off, I've got to be honest, I've been veering towards the fact that he pussied out because he knows he's not going to beat him. And I wanted him to win the fight.
He wasn't going to win the fight.
I'm just wondering. I think he might have just said, "No, I'm not going to have this because he's going to make me look silly." Maybe.
Well, they're all pictures out there, Stuart, of his X-ray of his ribs. His ribs are broken. He did have a chest infection. You know, he's come out and said all this. It doesn't help when Tyson Fury, the week before said he could beat, you know, Jake Paul with a broken rib if he was ill. Maybe he was alluding to something then, but really was making it as a in-and-out joke. I don't know. Would you personally want to fight on a broken rib? Because that broken rib could effectively go into your lung, punch your lung, and then, you know, he's going to be... it's a hard one to say. I'm disappointed because, you know, I mean, I was really looking forward to me and you spending an hour breaking this down, really, you know, getting the claws into this fight and really, you know what I mean? You for boxing. I'm not saying I'm going to be for Jake Paul because I don't think I am. I just see it in a different way. But yeah, disappointed, yeah. Because if I'm honest, and I know Brett's in the comments, I don't want to see Tyron Woodley versus Jake Paul too.
And Jake Paul said that's it. Now he doesn't get another chance.
He'll get another chance. I think he will.
Frank Warren should do away with Tommy now. Might as well put Tommy's dad in the ring as he seems more up for it than Tommy. Well, no. John Fury's, it would never happen.
Bit old. He's
50 odd years old, Brett. You know, come on now. Let's be real here for a minute. Yeah, maybe verbal sparring.
You destroy him then.
Yeah, absolutely. Will you be doing a special still on Jake Paul fight, Chris? I'll leave that to you. You know, if you want to do some it.
If I'm honest with you, Brett, I don't really, because I looked at me and Stuart, we thought we could probably give Tommy Fury, Jake Paul, a bigger window for conversation. But we've already seen Tyron Woodley versus Jake Paul. And if I'm honest, Brett, you know, like I know which way this is going. This is going to be another Jake Paul win. I'm not really want to spend too much time on it. I will give you another breakdown. I will do what I do every week. So we'll stew it. I probably won't give you as long because we've already seen this fight. You know, maybe somewhere down the line, if Jake Paul faces Tommy Fury again, I do promise you we will give you a bigger window for it.
Did Woodley take a backhander when he had him hurt on the ropes in that first fight?
Rumor has it that there was a no knockout clause, but Jake Paul has put a 500,000 bounty on his head.
Maybe this time, if he lands, it could be, you know,
Woodley's frozen, isn't he? He's frozen in time.
I mean, we know that. We know that, Chris. But I just feel I'd love to see that. You know,
you might, but I can't.
You can't see it, can you? No. Dan Terra Sporting. I feel Tommy has kind of fallen on this one and let us down on the boxing side. But as Chris says, you know, there's an X-ray there which solidifies that he's not pulled out. I was still saying, oh, he's pussied out. This ain't saying much against the supposed YouTuber, is it? Jake keeps poking Khan now. I hope he'd be the one to take it.
Well, Khan's sort of locked in with Kel Brook at the moment.
He's not gonna fight a celebrity.
I get what Dan's saying.
Khan did go the TV route a little bit. So maybe
he did say something about Jake Paul, though.
Yeah, when Khan's finished with boxing in the professional format, maybe in a couple of years or so.
I get what Dan's saying, Stuart, though. We all were disappointed. You know, I mean, John Scott ruined my day. He sent me the bloody link saying it's been cancelled.
The closer it got, the more intriguing it was getting. People are like, oh, fucking hell, not this. But I was starting to get like emotionally involved in it. You know, the presser the other week, although it was a bit embarrassing, wasn't it? You know, Eddie Hearn said that. He said he felt for Frank Warren stood there when they were all effing and jeffing, but that was one of them, wasn't it? Pete Layton. I was reading Ring Magazine's site and they quote Canelo saying the only big payday he could potentially get is with Jake Paul, but he might get stripped if he takes it. Yeah, he's not going to. Not a chance. He makes a fortune, Canelo. His contracts are like ridiculous. He's one of the best paid.
And Usman wants that fight, even though I don't recommend it. But
no.
I don't what recommend it. Not That's a big money fight. That's a big money fight.
It's not your chosen combat code.
It's not for me.
I know we've seen cross promotion over the years to a lesser extent, but bloody hell, it's just the way it's gone. It's the way it's gone.
I wouldn't crazy. Want to see Jake Paul versus Canelo.
No, I want to see proper guys, you know, in their own code doing what they do. Canelo should fight. Sorry, Brett Thomas. Canelo should fight Logan, not Jake. I saw Floyd wipe the floor with Canelo, and Logan took Floyd the whole way. Didn't get beat at all. Logan's heart and heart of a lion will beat this Canelo. Not a chance, Brett. Not in a million years. You could go back to prehistoric times, or we'll go backwards if you want. Not a hope in hell. That man is just like he's different level, and we're gonna see that at light heavyweight where he's going up against the natural light heavyweights,
big boys,
and he's gonna clear it. Guarantee it. Hello, Rachel. Rachel,
nice to see you, Rachel.
Hi guys. Afternoon, Brett. Disappointed the fight got cancelled. Yeah, it was just because it was so close. It was so close, and I was not as emotionally invested earlier on. And then when the press conference happened and stuff like that, and we were talking, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to actually get up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning to watch this.
I was going to do a live with Rom it, but that was the plan. Me and Rom spoke about it, but I don't really want to do one over Woodley, to be honest with you.
Rachel, Chris can tell you all about the UFC people, the UFC guys.
Just have to ask.
Yeah. Sai, Isaac, bloody hell. Getting tongue-tied here. Hello, Tyler T, Isaac, yes, lads. He's listening to us in the gym in Norwich. He told me earlier he'd be in the gym.
Go on, lad.
Yeah. I hope you're pumping that iron, Isaac. Getting them guns bigger. Steve Muntman. Glad I found the show this week. I knew Brett would be on here. LOL. Tommy, geez. Okay, let's be fair to him. He's maybe unwell, but why did it come so close to the date of a fight to say this. Look, he was getting hit in the midsection with a medicine ball.
Yeah, there was a video of that.
I saw that. Tyson was having a go. He's getting peppered with that. Maybe that did it. Yeah.
I do agree. I think it's a bit, you know, I mean, from what I've read, this has been going on for a couple of weeks, Stuart. This broken rib and this chest infection. It does baffle me in a way why you've waited a week before the fight to say, right, yeah, I can't fight. Okay, I've heard that he's tried to sort of train and he got hurt with a body shot. But if you're already in that state of mind where you're thinking, I can't do it, why wait a week? I get the argument.
Absolutely, absolutely. Also, Vasily Lomachenko's fighting this weekend at Madison Square Garden. But I will do that in a minute, the scheduling. Tyler T, Isaac, have I missed this slamming Tommy goes to bed with his Teddy Fury? There you go. Yeah, it's been summed up. It's been summed up by Isaac there. He's not happy. He was looking forward to the fight. Jake quoted this. Right, okay. I'm giving Tyrant an extra $500,000 if he can knock me out. It just nips the rumours in the bud and show people that all of my fights have been real, are real, and will continue to be real.
Listen, that's an incentive for Tyron Woodley, but can Tyron Woodley knock out Jake Paul? No, he can't. Because not because he hasn't got the power, it's just he can't throw his strike. You saw it in the first fight. He hesitates and hesitates. And Jake Paul just, you know, used basic boxing skills and jabbed him, you know, for the whole, I think it was 8 rounds the last fight? I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Tommy would have got more respect just getting beaten back to hair gel outfits. I don't want to hear his name. And boxing together again. Yeah, that's Isaac done with him now. He's done for now. It's Tommy with Isaac. He's had enough. Yeah, but Woodley isn't a boxer, for fuck's sake. That's it. Woodley would beat Tommy anyway, just because Tommy says he's a boxer. You're saying he's real rubbish. We won't know for a while, will we?
No.
Brett, I got to tell you, Tommy in a boxing fight would beat Tyron. Let's get a boxer in against Jake, please. Okay. Two sides of the argument, you see, which is fine. I agree with you 100%, Brett. There you go. Hey, Brett, Isaac's with you. Well, nobody is stepping up, are they? You know why? Because they're scared of being dropped by their perception of a YouTube non-boxer like all these so-called boxing visuals make him out to be. Right, okay. Yeah. Pete Layton, Tommy would probably beat him, surely. Woodley is an MMA fighter.
Well, yeah, he is an MMA fight. That's 100%. You got it right there, Pete. I don't know if Tommy would beat Jake. I think I had Jake beating Tommy. I think Tommy would have fallen to pieces. I think pressure would have got to him. It just shows you with this injury. I know it's bad, and I know I said about would you fight with a broken rib, but you got to look at his older brother who fought Deontay Wilder with all the shit he went through with his daughter, COVID. You know, he had that weird injury with his knee, his elbows as well. And I think it shows a heart of a character. You know, a lot of fighters go into fights injured. You know what I mean? You tell me what fighter goes into a fight 100% fit.
Let's see. Paul versus Eubank or Carl, maybe. No. You get battered, like, no disrespect. They're very good at what they do. Even Carl coming back in. Mark Lloyd, hello, Mark. I'm a Jake Paul guy now after I saw Tommy take his ball. Honestly, I've done a complete U-turn and I feel John Fury and Tyson were talking Tommy up as something he isn't. Tommy looked worried to me. Okay.
I don't know. It's hard because we haven't seen him get in the ring and fight. We need to see it, don't we?
Steve Mempton, Brett, I want to see how realistic you are here. If Tyson Fury faced Jake, who wins? They are not same weight, but in WWE, Jake wins. See, he's always got an answer, Brett. He's always, even when you think you've got him backed up, he comes to something
throws
else.
Throws a strike back.
You know, it's good. It's good. It's caused the debate, which is great.
I like a good debate.
Boxing people just love to find any excuse to not Jake. Yeah, but look.
I do think they do.
All right, then. Put him in with somebody. You're putting him in with a ranked
Francis
fighter.
Ngannou.
Yeah. Yeah. At least Woodley stepped up. Yeah, to be fair to Woodley, but it's that again, isn't it? Tyron could win, no?
Listen, Rachel, Tyron can win. Tyron has got to throw some more punches. Tyron's got to move and move his head. Well, his head movement was actually not too bad in the first fight. He's got to make Jake work. It's okay chasing him around the ring, but not actually throwing something. You know, he hurt Jake, put Jake in the ropes. And what did he do when Jake came back off that ropes? Jake was hurt, didn't do anything. He froze. This is why Tyron Woodley, in his last probably six fights in the UFC, actually, it was longer than his six fights. If you want to see how bad Tyron Woodley is, Rachel, type in YouTube, Tyron Woodley versus Damian Maia. And Damian Maia is a jiu-jitsu guy, not known for striking. And Tyron Woodley made that fight look dreadful because he was refusing to throw a punch.
Please, Big Fight Weekly, can we ban Jake Paul, Logan Paul on your show? Chris, I'll let you call that one. I'm just going to stay here for a minute. stick to my fence. I was on the fence at the start and I'm going to stay on the fence. Switzerland. Steve. I'm not getting involved.
Get off. Chris, get off the fence.
No, I'll send the fence. It's comfy.
You and Geneva.
I haven't got a splinter up my arse yet. The fence is all right.
I'll fucking give you a splinter up my arse. Steve, my friend, look, everyone's got their own opinions. I'm not a big fan of Jake or Logan Paul either, but, you know, it's just fun. Listen to the debate. Everyone's having a good argument, which, you know, no one's having an actual argument properly, but it's nice to have a debate. I can't get rid of Jake and Logan Paul unless they get rid of themselves, and then we can stop talking about them.
Absolutely. How many more comments on this? Jesus
Mate,
Christ.
I know.
Khan was finished years ago. He did I'm a Celebrity. Brett, he came back. He came back, though. He's had fights. He's had not to the caliber of what he was doing. Underrated Amir Khan. Always glass chin, but he fought. You go through. We went through his record.
Big fights.
We went through his record. And he went up as well. He fought Canelo. He's fought Crawford. You know, he's fought people. Mark Lloyd, I love Stu's reaction to the polls on the show. I know it's a fucking circus, Mark. That's why. They've turned it into a fucking circus. I fucking
love it.
Pure boxing purist, MMA purist. That's it. Simple as that. Chris, you have so much knowledge on MMA. You do.
Thank you very much, Rachel. I appreciate
it. He's like the MMA equivalent of Britannica when we used to have the books. There you go.
Fucking like massive books. Yeah.
You had them in your house on Park Road, and then it all went digital. You could have it on your computer on disc. So there we go.
I don't want to read any of that shit though. You can Google most things these days.
It was good for homework though. It was always handy when you needed it.
I was never allowed to touch them.
Isaac, I'm training for a white collar fight with Tommy. He'd be scared of you. You got the muscle mass up top, Isaac. Thanks, guys, for reading all comments. Not Brett, we will always do that. Chris, you've been really good with that, letting them know that we will get to them as well.
Listen, at the end of the day, people want to speak about it. I want people to have their opinions.
It's not just me and him. It's not just a two-man show. You are all a part of it as well. And that's what we like. We love the comments. Jake Paul had to fight with an injury, shall we say.
My only issue with this, Brett, is like, you know, I know Jake Paul's come out and said he's had a fight with a broken nose, a broken wrist, or was it a broken hand? The only thing is, like, I can really force myself to back with Tommy here. A broken rib's different, isn't it? Because it's knee vital organs, isn't it? You think, you say that he went with the fight, Jake Paul goes for a body shot, and that, you know, broken rib goes into his lungs, punches his lungs. You don't want to see that at the end of the day. I can see some capacity, you know, why people... angry with Tommy, but you know, there are about half of people I've seen today and I've watched understand, you know, that is a bad injury. But also, again, Stuart, people go into fights injured.
That's it, it's just part and parcel of the game, like, you know, 100%. Also, Merry Xmas, Merry Xmas.
That's not again, is it, Stuart?
It's hard when you go live. This is what happens, you see. No, Brett,
Merry Christmas
to you.
All as well, yeah.
Are you still keeping hydrated, Brett? That's the thing.
Yeah, hope you're looking after yourself.
Thanks for all the banter. Yeah, we love banter. It's great. Thanks, Stu and Chris. Not a problem, mate. Not a problem. Rachel calling out, this is making me laugh so much. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Hey, there's not enough time to be sad and miserable. I keep telling this to people who I know, friends and that. We're not here for a long time. I'm not being deep and meaningful, but it's you know we've all been through shit. But I tell you what,
we've had a laugh.
You've got to have a laugh in life. You've got to get up and tackle a day as well. I used to lie in bed for days when I was struggling. I tell you that now. I couldn't get out of bed.
He's playing with his willy. Listen,
the banter's gone, Mike. The banter's gone to me now.
Listen, your inspiration. You've gone through shit as well, so you know.
You have as well.
I know. Yeah, but you know, we look after each other, and that's why we keep going.
Yeah. Thanks for cheering me up, guys. Yeah, Kurt Angle. Yeah, no problem, Rachel. Not a problem. Mark Lloyd. Kurt Angle won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. LOL. Yes, he did. And I would have loved to have seen him. I would have loved to have seen him in MMA, but then Daniel Pewden nearly made him look silly, didn't he, on Tough Enough? Because he was going to snap his arm on live TV. So there we go.
Yeah, you should have snapped his arm as well.
Mark Lloyd, haha, playing with his willy. Yeah, fucking hell. Yeah. So is that everything?
Because
I think that's one of the most heaviest and bumper on comments we've ever had.
But you know what, Stuart? Before we get into this, I know we're a bit over today, but you know, people want to talk about Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him. Everyone's got an opinion.
If you'd have told me 2 or 3 years ago we'd be talking about celebrity boxers and it'd get more comments than the actual, you know, legit fighters and professionals, I would have said bollocks, like, but it's a talking point. Now, I am made up for Dillian White here. T-shirt, please.
Plays with his willy?
We need to get some t-shirts done, like, next year,
and everyone else is listening. We have spoke about it, so you know, next year we'll work on these other things. Get some Big Fight Weekly t-shirts out there.
We'll get them from Pins and Knuckles because the quality is really, really good.
I've got this one here for Stuart as well.
Lovely. And do you know what? I don't need to read the headline because it speaks for itself. But I am made up that Dillian White is getting a shot. He deserves it. He's got power. He's got power. Now, Tyson Fury is by far and away the favourite. He's going to be slicker. He's going to be slick against him. Wilder is the most feared puncher. But Dillian White could hurt Fury if he landed. He could hurt him. There is that variable in there. Tyson Fury is going to win the fight, I have no doubt. But it could be problematic. It could be a tricky one. Look at Otto Wallin. If he lands,
but you also look at Dante Wilder. Does he hit harder than Dillian White? You've got to say yes.
You'd say yeah.
But I think Dillian White's got more in his arsenal than what Dante Wilder has. So I get where you're coming from. He deserves
this, but then it's going to be Usyk and Joshua. And as Fury said, I won't face Joshua if he loses again to Usyk. The pressure's on Joshua here now.
Yeah, it is massively.
Because Dillian White's come in.
I thought he had an arbitration going on though at the moment.
It's had to go through the courts and all that. And you know what, mate? It's ridiculous he hasn't had his shot because he was mandatory.
We've spoken about this.
He lost mandatory to Povetkin. He avenged it. He did so well in the rematch. I mean, it retired Povetkin. I know he was in his 40s. I'm just so glad for White. Because I think he's underrated. I really do. He's a great boxer. He's a good boxer. You know, he really put Joshua into murky waters in that fight. He nearly had Joshua down. Joshua was cresting the wave, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah.
You know, he's had some big fights. He took on some of the best in the division, Dillian White, and he's been waiting for this shot.
I have some questions here from Rachel Cornell about this current fight.
Lovely. Rachel Cornell, this might be a silly question. After Tyson, Dillian and Usyk, AJ, what's the final fight you think for Tyson?
Chisora, wasn't it, he said?
Yeah. Right at the end there. Right at the end, it'd be Chisora. He had his list for like the next 2 years, what he was going to do. He wants Usyk. You know, I listened to TalkSport. They had the boxing show. Gareth A. Davis was on it yesterday.
My mate.
Yeah, your mate. So Gareth A. Davis on there, Spencer Oliver. Great show on a Thursday afternoon. Well, yeah, about 11, half 11, maybe 12. Yeah. Really good, the boxing show on there. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, and they were just saying, like, you know, Usyk, Usyk's a problem for them all. Even Fury.
It's a chess match, that fight, though, isn't it, Fury and Usyk?
Oh, my days. So many great, you know, matchups to be made. He said he only has 2 fights, so he might never see AJ. If AJ loses again, which he is, he's going to lose again, that'll be it. He won't get Fury, and that fight will never have happened.
Yeah, and that's going to be really disappointing if it never happens, isn't it?
There's no impetus for Fury if he loses again. What's he doing, like, you know? He's coming off 2 losses to fight the champion.
But Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Tyson will win, I think. Tyson will own everyone, then bow out. Yeah, well put, Isaac.
These are questions back about our merch, Stu, we're thinking about.
Yeah, I will get in touch with Pins and Knuckles. I will get some prices. Yeah, and we're going we'll have to speak to John with the logo just to get it looking how it should look on a T-shirt.
Rob's come back here as well.
Hey, Ramel, I would like to disagree with you, Stu. Kurt just pinned Pewder because it was just a wrestling match, not a shoot. But Pewder straight up gets Kurt's arm. If it was a straight shoot fight, Kurt all the way. Look, they were worried. Do not sleep on Daniel Pewder in that moment. I'm telling you, he was going to snap his arm.
He had his arm. Yeah,
he knows what he's doing. That guy, he's a gobshite, Daniel Pewder, because I've seen him in shoots after. He still lives off that moment, like, you know, 15, 16, 17 years later. He's a cock of a bloke. I don't like him.
He never had an MMA career anyway.
But Kurt's arm, he had him in a vice-like grip, and there was problems. But yeah, look. What a fight this will be. You know, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm just chuffed for Dillian White, Chris.
Well, we spoke about this. Yeah, I do agree. I don't think he beats Fury, though.
Fury does respect him as much as he comes out and says things. They were friends, weren't they?
They train together.
Yeah.
I think it's just good well to sell a fight, isn't it? This pretend to hate each other.
Have we got anything else, Chris, before we go?
I think, unless anyone's got anything right in a second. Right. No. Well, we're done.
Vasily Lomachenko is fighting as well tomorrow. Don't forget that. The former pound-for-pound king. He's coming back. He's getting himself ready. So he's fighting tomorrow night. We've got Chisora Parker 2 on the 18th, Chris.
It's a good fight.
MMA-wise, Chris, anything just on scheduling that we can talk about that we're going to be previewing and going into and analysing? What have we got coming up?
I think after this event, we've got Tom. I think Tom. Yeah, I think Stephen Thompson's fighting.
Brilliant.
I just can't remember who he's fighting. Obviously, before we shoot, Stuart, and we thank you all for your comments today, I've got a little announcement. Don't panic. But after next week's episode, me and Stuart are having a break just for Christmas and New Year. But we'll definitely be back. We're not saying that's it. This is it. We're just going to enjoy our families and like everyone's going through for Christmas and New Year's, you know, and we'll be back in January and we'll be back better than ever. But for this year, I want to say thank you to all of you that have come on the show, commented, had a bit of banter with us, disagreed with us. You've made, especially for me, you've made my year. I never thought I could do something like this. And Stuart was the one that pushed me to, you know, do something like this. I usually just spent more time arguing
Chris,
people on Twitter.
Nobody's got the cohesion we've got. Like, I don't give a... And it's not me being arrogant saying that. I see people all the time doing shows. Anyone can do a show. They have not got what we've got. Like, you know, we've been together, you know, we're cousins, but we're only three months apart.
Yeah.
And you can't fake that. I see a lot of fakeness. I'm not downplaying anybody. Anyone can do it. Anyone can go on and do it. But we enjoy it. You know, it's not arrogance. It's confidence. We've had an implosion of downloads overnight on audio form, haven't we, Chris? So
I did see, and you
needed a platform. Going back to you, you needed a platform because you know your knowledge is second to none. And I've really enjoyed today as well.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the comments. I love the whole Jake Paul thing. It makes me laugh, even though I know a lot of people hate it. But you know, you've got a love to hate it, haven't you? But yeah, going back we're going to take a couple of weeks off after next week. So we will be an episode next week, but we're going to obviously, like I say, everyone's going to enjoy the Christmas. It's New Year's. Have a few drinks, get pissed. You know, do whatever you do when it's time of the year. But we'll be back in January, 100%, and we'll be fucking rock and rolling again.
Absolutely. So yeah, what anything to plug before we go, Chris?
Well, I've got one more comment.
Excellent show, lads. Cheers, Isaac. He's in the gym. See, he'll listen in the gym. He will. It doesn't bother him. He can be in any setting. The Pat Man. Paul has already fought Mayweather. Why not fight the other biggest name of the last 20 years in Pacquiao?
No, he's retired.
Yeah, it's what a legendary career. Took on all comers. He's in the annals of time now, Pacquiao. One of the greatest.
Should have fought Floyd a bit earlier, but hey,
that was too late. It was too late. But then, you know, it was just one of them things, wasn't it? Bloody contracts, boxing boards, different promoters, That's why it took so long. That's why, this is why we don't get the fights. But yeah, Chris, any news, anything to plug before we shoot?
No. But hey, I just got to say quickly, our lovely kickoff about Everton last week did as well for Monday, didn't it?
did not agree with the 27 minute thing. I'm telling you now. That's not about the, it's the love of the badge. Forget what the players were doing. I didn't agree with it. That's turning your back on the club. Forget what the players. I know the performances weren't there. I've sat in a seat when we've been losing 6-1 at a game at home before now, and I stayed till the very end. It's not you love the club first and foremost.
I don't think it was about the players, though. It was more against the
board. It re-energized the crowd. There's no question of that, because the atmosphere was brilliant. But
yeah, it needs to be more like that.
It's just circumstance of people. They want to be like, it's just the way it's gone. But hey ho, yeah, we won. And hopefully,
go and check out Damari Gray's goal and have it on repeat. Yeah.
He was the only one against Liverpool who played half decent as well.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So there we go, Chris. And episode 100 is still out. Shoe Dressing Podcast.
Yeah, go watch it.
And I tagged everyone. I tagged everyone who'd been on the show on Facebook. I did it in two posts because you got blocked. So yeah, thank you for that. Episode 101 will be out soon. The Christmas episode with Dave Faulkner, who was a guest on this show. Grappler. He grappled for years. He's incredible, Dave. I get to see him at Superstar Pro tomorrow. Dave's one hell of a guy. Chris will attest to that.
Love him. I love Dave Faulkner.
He was on the Ultimate Fighter as well, Chris will tell you. Yeah. If he didn't have the staph infection, he would have gone far, because his grappling was second to none, wasn't it?
Yeah. What a character, Stuart. What a character.
All Bisping's big camps, he was training with him. So that tells you everything. But yeah, that's coming out. That'll be the Christmas episode with wrestler, grappler, former Ultimate Fighter alumni, Dave Faulkner. And this has been episode 42 of Powered4.tv Big Fight Weekly. And a big thank you to John and Rich, actually, before we go. Thank you very much, lads. Thank you very much, as always. And we will see you either Monday or Tuesday. We haven't decided yet.
You'll know when we know. All right, we'll see you next week.
Sports Social Podcast Network.